You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Salisbury and Nottingham on this edition. You'll hear every race live though on Racing Radio in the company of Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Dale Gibson from 1:40pm on Wednesday afternoon. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to four contests on Wednesday is Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
I'm very well, Sam. How are
good.
You?
Good stuff, yeah. Not too bad at all, thank you. How's the form been lately?
Not too bad. I had a little holiday, first one since February, so that was very welcome. Come back and just getting back to it. Newmarket Saturday, interesting day's action there, and yeah, really, I enjoy this time of the year because obviously we haven't had the jumpers yet, so we're looking forward to some quality jump action starting up in October, and we've got some good races to close, like the Cambridge, the Cesara, which, you know, good meetings at Ascot as well with Champions Day, etc. So. And the Arc this Sunday, so it's a brilliant time of year, really.
Yeah, it's very much the swan song of the flat season for most people. The Arc, a lot of people sort mm-hmm. of see the card usually at Longchamp, a bit Shanty this year as the final day of the season. It's obviously given a different dimension this year. The fact that it has switched to Shanty, Sam, has sort of thrown punters a little bit because they're obviously having to sort of rethink their usual thinking when it's at Longchamp.
Yeah, absolutely. That there is a difference there, different type of track as well, sort of. Between the three and the two, there's quite a stiff climb to the line, so you might find that one or two horses will, you know, perhaps give away their chance by kicking too soon, and they might be, you know, really struggling from that point on. So I think patient ride is going to be the key. That's the French way, and you know, hopefully Andrea at Zanion postponed one of few chances we've got in the race now. Britain, hopefully he can deliver a race winning challenge at the right time.
Yeah, just two at the time recording for Britain. Postponed the 7-4 favourite. The Grey Gatsby is also still in the race at 50-1. Aidan O'Brien sends Found and Order of St George alongside Highland Reel as the main challengers from Ireland. Of course, all the French riders in there as well. But Postponed hasn't done anything wrong all season, Sammy.
No.
Even at a time when the Varying Yard was a bit quiet, Postponed came out and still showed to have all the capabilities that have made him the best horse in Europe for some people.
Yeah, very much so. You know, one over trips that didn't really suit him. One when the stable had the virus. You know, he just keeps doing it, doesn't he? Postponed. He just does what he says on the tin. You know, he's one of, well, I think he's rated one of the highest rated horses in the world, isn't he? And, you know, he certainly deserves that tag as well because he does it under every sort of conditions. He's very versatile trip-wise, track-wise. Supreme professional, well-trained by Luca Cimani in the formative years, and Roger Varian's picked up the baton, as Michael Johnson would like to say, and has done a terrific job with him. And he's got a good partner as well in Andrea at Zini, top-class jock.
Yeah, he certainly has. One top-class jockey who might not have a ride in the big race, Sam. Of course, Frankie Dettori, a four-time winner of the Arc, rode Golden Horn 2 victory last year. Was meant to be partnered with Fascinating Rock, but he hasn't came through a gallop this morning for Dermot Weld. So we wait to see if the enigmatic Italian will get a ride in this year's Arc. But of course, it's almost 20... Well, it will be 20 years to the day on Wednesday since he rode all seven winners at Ascot. I was just two then, Sam. Hopefully
you remember it
a bit better than I do. Yeah.
I certainly do. I was working in a betting shop. I was a manager in a betting shop in Kidderminster, which is sort of West Midlands.
Yep.
And once the first three had won, I remember turning to a cashier. Actually, it might have been after four. And I won't repeat the words that I said to one of my cashiers at the time, but I think we're in trouble here, or words to that effect.
Yes.
Thankfully, we'd only got a punter in the shop. He'd done six of the seven. He hadn't done Fujiyama Crest.
Right.
He'd done six of the seven. So he got a nice win. But some of the shops were really badly hit, as you can imagine. I heard one story in the week as well. There was one guy, rather than put all seven in a bet, he did a lucky 15, and then he did a patent.
Oh yeah, with the final three,
a four and a three. And I think he was praying to God that Fujiyama Crest or Pat Edry could have got up and denied Fujiyama Crest. But that was the most ridiculous Fujiyama Crest, because he was poorly drawn on the day. He was supported from sort of 16s into twos. Obviously, all the offices were happy to lay 2-1. The horse did nothing afterwards. He went to Nicky Henderson. I think Sheila Crowe had him between the flags and the point-to-point. Never did anything. And I think at the end of his career, Frankie might have had him back and had him, in his retirement
in
the paddocks.
In the yard, yeah.
But, the horse was pretty hopeless going into that race and certainly hopeless afterwards. And yet, he just kept filling him up all the way around. Frankie gave him a superb ride from the front and just turned Pat Edry away in the last sort of 100 yards, 150 yards. It was a brilliant ride.
Yeah, it looked for all the world as though Northern Fleet was going to come pick him up in the last
Northern
furlong
Fleet.
Or two.
Yeah.
But it very much typifies what Frankie does best, going from the front like that on perhaps not the most fancied horse in the race. And he's so good in front, and we've seen that many times since that day in September 96.
Yeah, well, did he lead all the way in the Cez, didn't he? Down the middle of the track on one of Ian Williams's, didn't he? I think 2-3 years ago. So I think it was Ian Williams. It might have even been. Was it? It wouldn't be Landing Light, because I think Kieran rode that. But anyway, he was. He's a brilliant judge of pace from the front, and it was never better evidence of that than that day 20 years ago. And thankfully, I think Stanley Racing then sold out to William Hill. Maybe that finished him off.
Yeah, it crippled one or two bookmakers, I think, that day. While we're on the subject of jockeys, let's just have a quick word on the UK Flat Jockey Championship, which, of course, will be decided and awarded in a week or so. Jim Crowley rode a double yesterday at Bath, while Sylvester D'Souza drew a blank, which means Jim Crowley is 6 clear in the race now and 1-4 shot here with William Hill to win a maiden title. It's 11-4 for SDS to retain his. Is it something that captures your imagination, Sam, or does it rather pass you by?
No, I think in previous years I've sort of got stuck into it. There was the Spencer Seb Sanders battle, which was terrific. Went down to the wire, went down to virtually the last race on the season. The Hannigan Hughes one recently as well, really captured the imagination. I must admit, I don't worry about it too much until it sort of goes into the last month. I think having updates 7 weeks before the end of the season is a bit pointless, because people can get injured, have a big ban, whatever. But I would think, and I'd really like Jim Crowley to win it for the first time. I think he's, very solid jockey, good with the media, doesn't make many mistakes in races, good percentage rider. And, it's just, it's indicative really how difficult it is this season. I mean, how many winners has Jim ridden this year? Was he's 100 plus, isn't he?
Yeah, 116, something like
that. Yeah, but you think, Mouse Morris, Mouse Roberts, sorry. I think he rode well over 200 when he won it, and there've been some right figures racked up in that. Yeah. And so it just shows that it's been a more even spread this year. I think there's 4 or 5 jockeys that reached 100 winners for the year. Yeah. So they seem to be shared around a little bit more, obviously with Ryan Moore being out injured for a sustained period as well, and not chasing the title. But yeah, it'd be great to see Jim win it. He's not really had the backing of any huge stables, but he's picked up, one or two rides when sort of Fran Berry was injured at the Becketts. He's got back in there a little bit, and yeah, he's a decent bloke, and good to see a Brit win it.
Yeah, certainly is. It tends to be that way, Sam. You don't often get a jockey who's got a big retainer winning these things. It's very often the freelance guys. And interesting now that James Doyle's obviously going to be able to pick up many more rides. And he'd follow almost a trend of Sylvester D'Souza, lost the big job with Godolphin, then went on to win the jockey's title. Jamie Spencer lost the gig at Ballydoyle, then went on to win the jockey's title. So it could be something James Doyle guns for next year.
Well, I think if you react the right way and you dust yourself down and you still look in your bank account and you've got your £500,000 retainer from the previous year that's still sitting there nicely, or buys you a nice house, and then you get refocused, certainly Sylvester and Jamie Spencer, one or two others that have lost decent jobs in the past have come back fighting. And it's proved that it's been no negative, really. And we were talking about it a little bit in William Hill Radio on Tuesday afternoon, that people can reinvent themselves.
Yes.
Back in the day, like Frankie had that Godolphin job for God knows how many years, long time. And then when he lost it, that sort of opened the floodgates for, the Ballydoyles of this world and Godolphin again and various other people to chop and change a little bit with their riders. Judd Mont as well, they've used James, and then he went to Godolphin, and then that might well be able to that partnership might be reinstigated, because obviously he had a great time for Jugmond.
Yes. Yeah, certainly did. We'll leave the news there then, Sam, and move on to four races on Wednesday. We've got a couple from Salisbury and a couple from Nottingham to come. We'll begin with the Salisbury races, and we start with the 250, a condition stakes here over six furlongs for two-year-olds. Just a field of five have assembled, but a quintet who've all shown some sort of promise so far in their racecourse appearances.
Yeah, it's an interesting heat rather than a very competitive one. I think we're likely to see, you know, prohibitive favourite really in Ekturan. Who's a horse that really caught the eye first time out, beating Rivet. That form's been enhanced a few times. He's caught by Helmet. Helmet's had a great year over here. I'm not sure it's his first year as a sire or maybe second, but he's made a real impact anyway in the bloodstock world. And you know, this horse then went to Sandown over seven furlongs on easy ground for the Solario, ran behind South Seas, which again, you know, very, very solid performance. He ran third. He was only beaten two or three lengths at the line. Salouen was second, Majora's fifth, Apex King, Monticello, you know, the decent two-year-olds in behind. You know, probably wasn't top grade, but it was, you know, it was a group three. And then he ships up here at Salisbury for this conditions race over six furlongs. A drop back in trip shouldn't be an inconvenience for him, and it'll be disappointing if he can't get the job done. I would imagine Smoky Lane would near enough be second favourite in the mark. She ran really well behind Clem Fandango. That was in that valuable air race, the listed contest there. And he was third, behind Clem Fandango, beaten four lengths at air over five, back up to six. You'd imagine that he'd run well. He's a pretty hardy individual and should go well. Smoky Lane, the ground shouldn't be an issue to him. And forget back in July, he was second to the Last Lion.
Yeah, who obviously went on to frank the form in no uncertain terms over the last few days. So, Ekturan the pick, Smoky Lane the danger?
Yeah, I think I'd probably go that way. I think Ekturan's probably got more upside to him. He's a type of horse that, you know, you would imagine that we haven't seen the best of him just yet. So, he's been lightly raced, and I think he's got a nice entry. I think some Dewhurst entry further down the line as well. So, this is probably a confidence booster for him.
Okay, Ekturan then in the 250 at Salisbury. We stay at Salisbury now for their 355. A handicap this time over a mile and a furlong. Three-year-olds and upwards eligible for this Class 2 contest. Nine of them have assembled. A little bit more depth to this race, Sam.
Yeah, it's a really interesting race because you've got, you know, a number of horses really that haven't run in handicaps for some little time. Captain Cat, Master Carpenter, you know, they're very much conditions, Group 3 listed horses. Captain Cat, I think, is going to be going hurdling soon, and he's schooled very well, so he might be just one to keep on the right side of when we see him over timber. I would go with Landwade Lad, just a horse that's quite lightly raced this year, bay gelding by Dan Silly, trained by James Fanshawe. Asheen Murphy has got on well with him this year. He won his Windsor handicap by a short head, beating Rock Steady, and then was a little disappointing when second to Mount Logan. He was beaten six lengths that day. It was an 8-1 poke, so the market didn't fancy him overly. But I do think just at the back end of the season, when the ground gets a little easier, and this trip looks perfect for him, you know, 9.5, 10 furlong trip looks ideal for him. Whereas for one or two of his rivals, it might stretch him, or it might not be quite far enough. The likes of Windshear and Captain Morley would probably prefer further. The lightly raced Fidawi would probably be the chief danger, you know, gelding by new approach. He's a very progressive type, and I don't think we've seen the best of him off a mark of 94 yet, but he was a bit disappointing in a four-runner race at Goodwood last time, so I'll go with Landwade Lad.
Landwade Lad then the choice for Sam in that 355 at Salisbury. We go to Nottingham now for a couple of races there, beginning with the 330, a handicap here over a mile and a quarter. 16 runners are down to take their chance in this Class 3. It's a series final as well, so as you'd expect, Sam, plenty of a course and distance form represented.
Yeah, it's an absolute nightmare. These two handicaps you've found for me here, Sam. Good grief, you've done a right job on me here. I would imagine Bedrock would be towards the head of the market for this 330. He was second to Toulson at Sandown last time. He's a three-year-old, cheap pieces on. Sylvester D'Souza, William Haggis, I mean, that's going to be like a red flag to layers, really. They're not going to want to go big price about him. He's drawn 13, which is a slightly awkward stall's berth. So I'll take him on with I'm Not Here, who was second over a mile and a half at Catterick last time to Card High in a Class 2 affair. He drops down in grade here, bizarrely. Pretty versatile trip rise between 10 and 12 furlongs. He's enjoyed a pretty good summer. He's sort of gone from 67, he's been catapulted up to 83. But James Dawl, nice booking, drawn three. He'll do for me over a mile and a quarter. He's already finished second at Nottingham over course and distance. He won't mind if the ground eases, I wouldn't think. James Dawl, obviously, stall three, nice position. Brian Ellison having winners, another winner at Sedgefield on Tuesday afternoon. And I think he has probably most to fear from Lord Franklin, who's resurgent for Eric Alston, but he's stuck out in 16, which could be awkward for him.
Okay, I'm not here then. One of the joint top weights gets the pick for Sam in that 3:30. We go to the 4:40 now at Nottingham, another series final here. 6 furlongs to trip this time, 17 runners, and again, a bit of a tricky look to it.
Bit of a tricky look.
You're shaking your head,
Sam.
Say
that again. Oh, dear. I mean, there must be, well, there's a number of course winners in this. I've been up and down it, and I must admit, I thought there was at least 6 or 7 that you could conceivably back. In the end, the pen fell on Belle Desert, who is a filly that's done me a couple of reasonable turns, certainly around Bath in the last couple of years, as a two-year-old and also a three-year-old, normally ridden by Royston French, but Adam Bashitsa also has a fairly decent record on her. She won penultimate start at Nottingham over course and distance, really good fashion, beating Invade, was a well-backed favourite and did it very tidily. Then she went for a Class 3 handicap at York. The ground was just a little bit on the easy side that day, and she just got a little bit tired in that class and that grade. Hopefully the ground will stay decent at Nottingham. She's drawn up the standside rail. I haven't had a chance to have a look, see if there's much pace in and around her. There does look one or two front runners in the race, and hopefully she can get good toe into it. And she can go well for Steph Hollandshead. Small stable, but it'd be a nice price for them to win, 15 grand. So fingers crossed she can go well.
Certainly would, yeah. Belle Desert, then the former course and distance winner. Of course, there are many in that 4:40 at Nottingham. Thank you very much for that, Sam, and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
There we are then, Sam Turner's thoughts ahead of the racing on Wednesday. And remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon with Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Dale Gibson in the studio. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.